Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
Should old acquaintance be forgot? I don't have to be nice.
New churches is an all. You don't. But I do want to finish
okay,
up Phil
last
time.
We never
New churches
no.
is.
We're never doing the introduction the same way again. All right. All right,
guys. No, we aren't. So I do want to finish it. So New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. For the last time on episode 619.
Wowza.
Let's raise our glasses. Ed, you finally got your wish.
Oh, that's not my wish. Here, I'm gonna click my glasses against microphones. People know it's real. Right there. Not my wish. I love you guys. The one wish I had is to change the introduction, but I didn't realize it was going to involve this big of a change.
Yeah. All right. So it has been a bit since these last three episodes have come up on our podcast. We have gone, there's been a bit of a hiatus for a couple
celebrating
months.
Celebrating with our glasses and of beverages.
And that's because the newchurches.com Q&A podcast is transitioning, and this is the last episode that yours truly is going to be on. The three of us are going to be on together, and then it's going to take a new direction moving forward. So in this last episode,
but though we could use the band as like the music for it. Do you even know the band New Direction? I bet you don't. You're so not culturally relevant.
So I'm just a lot younger than you.
Ouch.
Todd, do you know the band New Direction?
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh, okay. They were so awesome.
Yeah. I guess.
There's actually a Chicago band called New Direction as well, but that's another story for another day. So, yeah.
So on this last episode, we actually wanted to address the fact that in church planting and in pastoral ministry, there's always a moment where you are going to say goodbye. What is that phrase, Todd? Every pastor is an interim pastor, or something like that. Yeah. So that's what we wanted to talk about today. How do you say goodbye well when you are sensing the Lord's leading to transition out of your church plant or your church? So what are some of your thoughts, guys?
Well, I will tell you that this is something that as a frequent interim, I do a lot. And I actually have a rock. I know this sounds a little strange. I haven't written about it, but I'm going to write about it soon because I'm about to finish up, I think, with the interim I'm doing in New York City. But there's a rock that, you know, Paul actually gives this goodbye to people on more than one occasion. And sometimes he gives a speech. Sometimes he just kind of sets sail to the next place. And so what I did is I was actually in Greece and I went down to the place where Paul said goodbye, the harbor, and I took a rock and I actually used that rock as a kind of reminder. So if you look, you have to look closely. I actually had it with me on the pulpit. It's not really a pulpit. It is now a church, but when I left, it was a table. And I put on that table the little rock. And if you remember, it says, this is Acts 18:18. Paul stayed in Corinth for some time. Then he left their brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla, Aquila. And before he sailed, he had his hair cut off. And anyway, the details of the hair is not the point. But he sails off from this place, and you can actually go to the ancient harbor. And I did, and I took a rock. I think one of the challenges is we don't know how to say gospel goodbyes. And there's a lot of gospel goodbyes, particularly if you've been a sequential church planter like I was. You know, depending on how you count, there were two churches where I was sort of the lead pastor, but I hired people who became the church planters. But if you count those, I planted six churches. And so all of them I have said goodbye to. I should add that during the pandemic, one of the real privileges was to go back to several of them. And that was super cool. And, you know, to go see and talk to people and have conversations. But part of it is you say goodbye when the time is right for you have done all that you can do and you will need to pass on somebody else. Now, I will tell you, The first church I serve, I don't think I've ever talked about this anywhere, Daniel, but the first church I serve, which is, gosh, what is that, 30 plus years ago now, I didn't transition well because I didn't know any better. So you know, I went there influenced by pastors who said, you should say you're going to stay your whole life. And I said, I'm going to stay my whole life. And in 5 years, we planted the church, got a building. That's, I went and visited there now. Now it's primarily a Vietnamese congregation. The neighborhood's very much transitioned to refugee neighborhood, actually. But I didn't know how to transition. So I said, well, you know, I'm going to go. I forget what exact details. It was 30 years ago. I'm going to take 6 months to transition. Well, as soon as you say I'm going to go, you can't take 6 months to transition because it's time for them. And so for 6 months, I'm trying to make decisions. And they're like, well, you're not going to be here. And it actually became, they were mad at me because I left. They felt abandoned. So for 6 months, because I told them, I literally said, I'm going to stay here until I retire. I'm going to plant my flag in Buffalo and never leave. I was wrong to say that. I didn't know my gift mix at that time. I was, you know, 21 years of age when I started the church in Buffalo. So so there was a godly district leader. His name's Terry Robertson. Now he leads my denomination's work in New York State. But he was the Buffalo district leader. We call it an association. And he said, Ed, this happens all the time. And I was like, I've never had this before. You know, I'm 26 years old and people are mad at me. We planted this church and they're mad at me for leaving. Well, why would they be mad at me for leaving? Wouldn't they want to say goodbye? And wouldn't we just end it well? And he kind of listed, here's some areas you got to do differently. And since that time, I've worked on being able to say gospel goodbye. So when I said gospel goodbyes to the next church I planted, I was able to articulate it well. I had prepared the elders. Actually, the person who pastors that church today at the second church plant 25 years later is the pastor I installed into that church when I left. So I learned from trial and error. Gospel goodbyes need to be well planned and not just casually and flippantly. Hey, you know, I know I told you I was staying forever, and I know I baptized most of you. I led to Christ most of you and baptized most of you, but I got to go. I got something I got to do better. I mean, that's not how I said it, but that's how they heard it.
I think one of the interesting things here too is, you know, we often hear these things as being bittersweet, but you have to be really careful, especially if things didn't go so well or they went poorly and that's why you're leaving or you feel like you're being run out. You still can't burn bridges on the way out. You still need to end well. You still need to transition well and do what is best for the church overall, even though it may feel like you're being run out on a rail. And so I don't know if anybody's been in that situation before, the three of us or people listening, I'm sure have, where you don't feel like it, you know, you really don't feel like leaving well. What would you say to that person? What's the importance of leaving well?
Yeah. Either burning one. The bridge on the way out is probably not the best plan. Yeah.
No, it isn't. It isn't. And part of it is, how do you say a gospel goodbye well? Part of, you know, if the thing that is going inside of you, you know, you're leaving because of a negative experience, or the board is chasing you out, or whatever that might be, and you feel like you are being pushed out, right? There's not a pull to leave and a call to what that next is, kind of like what you were talking about, Ed, for yourself, and that I felt several times, even when I left Lifeway, it's over two years ago. There is a sense of, no, I feel this pull to leave. I feel this leading and calling to leave. There's no one and nothing that was pushing me. Really, so we can obviously talk about that a little bit later. That's not sure. Well, maybe that's right now, but
I do think that's important.
But in all honesty,
so yeah. 'Cause like when I was in Buffalo, I left without a place because I was kind of, I mean, it was kind of a mix of burnout. I needed to finish. I was working on two master's degrees. So, but really there wasn't as much of it. There was all push. I'm like, how much, I mean, I've grown this church. I mean, again, this is the inner city of Buffalo, New York, among the urban poor. We grew from 0 to 75, took us 5 years to get there. So not, you know, not the subsequent story of Mill Creek that becomes this big, you know, large church, et cetera, et cetera. So I think part of the reason it was harder for them is because, again, I was 26 and stupid. That's the main part of what it was hard for them. I should have done it differently. But but I didn't communicate the push and the pull. So you mentioned that, Daniel. It's worth kind of exploring. So when I left Lifeway, you know, two of us have left Lifeway, and that's part of this transition, right? So we're transitioning to the Send Network for this podcast, more, you know, church planning focused organization and more. Still will be, you know, Todd will still be with us. We're excited about continuing to, you know, partner with Lifeway. But when I left Lifeway, I knew my time there was done, and I knew God was calling me to somewhere else. And I think that that was, and of course, that's an easier environment to leave. The tricky part is, and where it's so, you know, think about right now, Rick Warren. So Rick Warren and I are talking a lot about his transition. So here's a guy who's baptized, I don't know, he's baptized 20,000 people. So he's baptized probably most of the people who attend the church. So assuming that the vast, let's say the vast majority, hopefully, of those baptisms related to new conversions, the majority of new people came to Christ under Rick Warren. That was my situation on a much smaller level at Calvary Christian Church in Buffalo, New York. So now Rick's at the age where he's announced he's, I don't know what the word he's using, but, you know, sometimes people don't like to use the word retire, but whatever word he's using to describe his situation, he is them and they are him. And imagine that level of connection, not that size and scope like Rick Warren has, that's that level of connection in a church of 75 in Buffalo, New York. And, you know, I was doing so much of everything and, you know, and stepping, I just didn't do it well. And I learned a lot of lessons that I, and I think since then, I've never been fired or run out or left because I never since that time left because of burnout or conflict or things of that sort. But I know lots of people who have. I know lots of people who founded the church, grew the church, baptized everybody in the church, and got fired by the elders of the church. So, I mean, it's a weird thing.
Well, for sure, for sure. And that's where I would love for us to actually address that side first. Going back to Todd's question of how do you,
so let's have him weigh in on this.
So how do you leave well when you are, when that's the last thing that you want to do and you feel like you're being pushed out? And then after that, we'll then go to how do you leave well when there seems to be this push and this pull? I'll just get us going and then we'll throw it over to Todd. For me, I've experienced that when I left Korea. I wrote about this at the beginning and the end of my last book, You Are What You Do, and Six Other Lies About Work, Life, and Love, because I had placed so much of my identity in my work and in who I was as a pastor. And it really tore me up when I felt like that was being taken away from me. The ministry was growing and in our human mind's eyes, there is no reason for us to be pushed out other than what it was, church politics and a lot of mess in and around that. But in that moment, while all of that was happening, Christina and I didn't know what to do. We knew we couldn't set the place ablaze while we were leaving. It was a massive measure of injustice that we felt was going against us. Things that shouldn't have been done to us were being done to us. But we were weighing it out. We were like, okay, if we say all of that right now to the church, I don't know if that's going to glorify God. Yet, fast forward, how long has it been? 11 years. I think I probably should have said some of it in hindsight so that the same thing that happened to us didn't happen to the next few people after me. Because it ended up happening. And, you know, I'm sure it actually happened to the person before me too. So I think in hindsight, there is a sense of who do you share everything with? Who do you share your side of the story with? And let it be, you know, what it is, because they might not believe you, or they might, but at least you're sharing that with someone in leadership and in authority. But I still stand by our decision to not set the place ablaze and all of a sudden dump all of this onto the congregation, because I still don't think that would have honored and glorified God. So there definitely is a struggle when you're being pushed between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit.
Well, I mean, the way I look at that question, it's really interesting because, I mean, we're all three kind of weird. We're all a little odd, let's be honest. And I'm definitely so, because, you know, I went to Southern, I got my Greek and Hebrew and did all the stuff I was supposed to do, but I've always been drawn to the administrative or business side, almost strategy side of the church.
I'm shocked at this moment that you actually went to seminary. So that's, I thought maybe you did a and I love the fact you're Southern. Who knows that Southern's a seminary, in case those of you don't know. So, but go ahead.
Yes, yes. Anyway, the thing for me is I always was drawn to more the stewardship side than the shepherd side. Now you have to do both, and those both better be really grounded in you.
Yeah, I love the fact that right now there's determined bloggers like writing down,
oh, he doesn't care about you. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
But the reality is, for me, it was easier for me to do because it was a stewardship issue. I'm not saying I was terribly mature. And so I looked at everything as glorifying God. And, you know, it was easy for me to make decisions that that honored him that way. It was just I was wired more toward that end.
Yeah, for sure.
So and to be honest, there have been a few times where I felt, you know, definitely called by God. Hey, this is where you should be. But most of the time it's been knowing how God wired me, knowing the skill set I have, you know, experiences, whatever, and just positioning myself to do the most damage for the kingdom. But the interesting thing for me right now is I'm very happy in my role at Lifeway. But if you go back a few years, I wasn't terribly happy, but I had felt called to stay. And that was the first time in my life that I've ever felt something like that, where it was like, hey, I'm not being, it was almost the push and the pull. I could have been,
for sure.
You could say I was feeling like I was being pushed out, or the circumstances, you know, were pushing me and I wanted out. But the reality was the pull of that calling was so strong that I stayed, and I'm certainly glad that I did. And, have gotten to see fruit from it. So
yeah, that's good. So how about we get to the other side of it, and then we'll wrap things up episode.
I don't know that I want to go. I did notice that Todd said that he was having a hard time a few years ago, then I got better, and I want to say you're welcome for leaving, Todd. I know that's when I left. Everything got a lot easier.
You know, I never really thought about that's it awesome. But the timing
and just you know, I'm here to help. I'm here to serve.
That's awesome. All right. So how do you say, going back to the top of the podcast, Ed, you used an interesting phrase, gospel goodbyes. How do you say goodbye well when you do clearly sense a leading from God elsewhere, and there are those around you who are affirming it and who see, obviously they're disappointed, but they do see that God's hand is in this, and they want to send you off well. What does that look well? How do we do that well for the sake of the congregation?
Yeah, so mentally, I'm just kind of going through the church plants. So when we were planting Mill Creek, I came to the elders. I've told a story before where I got, you know, Rick Warren called me and recruited me to go be a seminary professor. And so I came to the elders and I said, you know, I think the Lord may be leading this direction. Would you pray with me? Very small group. They're very trusted. And they prayed with me. And, you know, they basically said, you know, we really want you to stay. We really had some great momentum. You know, we had just planted two new churches on one Sunday. We were trying, you know, kind of facilitating a church planting focus in this region of Pennsylvania. But we kind of came, and I just kind of said, I think the Lord's leading to do this. And, you know, they eventually said, okay, then how do we make this work? And again, in this case, the person who was there became the pastor. Fast forward to church plant in, let's see. I'm trying to think. When I was a co-pastor. So when I was planning, some of you know the name Philip Nation. We planted a church together, and so it was easy to leave there because he just stayed. So we were co-pastors. He stayed and pastored the church. And the one in Nashville, we also had, you know, because in the other two, I was doing another full time job. When I was at Lifeway, I had a full time job. I was a volunteer church planner. And so Jimmy, the co-pastor, he stayed. So those were probably easier. But in each case, you have to recognize that you got to prepare people for disappointment. Then you got to walk through the disappointment with them. So two phases to that: prepare people for the disappointment. You know, and so start even before it's public, just start seeing, all right, who's going to be disappointed and how can I begin to prepare them without fully, if I'm not even fully there yet, what do I need to do to help them to be prepared for what this, and sometimes that preparation is in organizations or structures or people you put in place. Sometimes it's in just sitting down with each of them before you even announce and just, you know, telling them you appreciate them or something of that sort, and then coming back again the second time and doing this in a relational way. You're going to spend a lot more time meeting with people leaving than you might have been spending with meeting with people when you were staying.
Yeah.
But then helping them to make that transition. And I think that's, you know, and the elders help with that. And having, like, for example, in each of those times when I got up to say something, with the exception of Buffalo, because I didn't know any better, I got up and say, hey, listen, I want you guys to know that I'm going to be transitioning out the next month. And the Lord has called us to do this. There's always been a pull that goes along with the push. And then immediately following me, in every case, we had somebody else. It was Todd at Mill Creek who got up and said, here's what we're going to be doing from here. Here's the plan. We're not done. We've got plans, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not that big feeling of a drop,
but there's
instead a transition.
Well, and that's the piece where on all 619 episodes, there has been a consistent thread and theme of the importance of developing leaders, of a leadership pipeline. And part of it for the church is if you have built everything on you and on your back and you haven't developed any other leaders, then obviously it's going to be incredibly difficult for the congregation for you to leave, because it's like everything and everyone is leaving because you were the head honcho, you were person. But if you were to actually develop, and I think that's really the thing that continues to bubble to the surface is, man, if you develop leaders in and around you and you are equipping the saints for the work of ministry, then even when you leave, it will be a hurt. It will hurt. It will be change. It'll be a new normal that you got to get used to, but it shouldn't be devastating because as a pastor, you've actually equipped others around you to lead rather than trying to lead everything yourself.
Yeah, and can I add one thing? I know we're going long, but that's okay. It's our last episode together. And then I want to hear from Todd. So I was the interim pastor of a church when I was in Nashville. And the guy who came in after me, and you know, I worked really hard. I was a volunteer interim because they were in financial distress. You'd know the name of the church. Daniel M. would definitely know the name of the church. Yes. And then I worked really hard. We grew the church down to 600. We grew it back up to over 1,000. And then an interim came in, didn't want to listen to the pain that the people had gone through, didn't want to, you know, and made all these changes and basically undermined the fragile place we had gotten it, blew the whole thing up, and eventually it left this, and then leaves in the midst of the disaster that he created. Mm-hmm. And I would say to you, if you're going to leave and you start knowing you're going to be leaving in 6 months, and you're in the middle of a mess, you might want to work before you decide to leave to fix some of the mess that you created so you don't leave in the middle of it. But you kind of, and once you know you're leaving, like I knew I was leaving Lifeway for months before I left Lifeway. And I began to say, what do I need to put in place and who do I need to put in place so that it will be a better place when I leave? And then we start thinking and planning that way. And I think it makes all the difference. Todd, what do you think?
Yeah, that's right.
So I can remember leaving Liberty Heights church and going to, which is just outside Cincinnati, and going to McLean Bible in the DC area. And the weird thing was I gave them plenty of time and they had someone lined up to come in and take over the student ministry. This is a student ministry that Eric Geiger and I started secretly. A lot of Simple Church is about that student ministry. It's written from a whole church perspective, but there's a lot of that kind of comes out of that. Anyway, the interesting thing there was I thought that, you know, I prepared things well, was ready to leave well. And then all of a sudden this guy backs out, like his wife didn't want to come from wherever, somewhere deeper in the South. And it just kind of blew up and made a real mess. Well, I ended up on VHS tapes, no less, putting together, you know, a summer series that was.
Dude, that's Ministry Grid before Ministry Grid.
It is Ministry Grid for me. That's so crazy.
What did you say?
That's Ministry Grid before Ministry Grid.
You did all of that. Lifeway basically is kind of surfing on the wave that you created this little church in Cincinnati. But all right.
No. So putting together stuff for the leaders. The leaders were in place. That was the beautiful thing. People that have listened to this podcast, somewhere in the 619 episodes, a couple of times I've talked about the church before Liberty Heights, and I did not leave that one well. And when I went back, everything was a mess because I'd tried to build it on, hustle and personality and leadership placement and not leadership development. Mm. Well, when we left this next time, it was completely different. But just ensuring that there was some type of gap, and even though I was already in a whole other state, trying to make sure that that ministry was ready, mm-hmm. And at least had somebody in place for the fall. The worship leader as well left shortly thereafter, so helping them find a worship leader and really still taking ownership of that ministry. Or it's not, we can say trite things like, hey, your legacy is not what you do, it's who you develop while you're there, and that's true, but there's still an ownership piece of it, I think, that needs to be there and needs to be put to bed before you can really move on to the next thing. I just could not leave it in a mess.
No, for sure. I mean part of it is, how do you leave in a way where you would be welcome back?
Oh, that's exactly
good. That's
right?
Good.
Right? Because
this is why we're gonna miss Daniel. I mean, that boom is so good. would the church call you back in the ministry call? That's so good.
Yeah. Because if
leave
not
in such a way that you'll be called back as the senior pastor when you come back.
That's true.
Yeah. True. So part of that is it's really something to reflect on. How do you leave in a way where you would be welcome back with two arms wide open? All right. So
Wait. Isn't that a great way to end the podcast? Daniel, we would welcome you back with two arms wide open.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So as we wrap up this last episode,
wrap it all up, baby. It's like, should all the queens. Let's all sing together. Can we do that? No, I don't think we can. Actually, Todd has, when you see Todd on video, he has a musical score behind him.
Yeah, he does. You can, Todd's pretty good at singing. So what is next? Let's end with that. What is next for the New Churches podcast? And then we can also talk about what is next for Todd and I moving forward too. So, and Todd,
So it feels like we're still like friends and family, but we are like,
it's a gospel doing
two different things. So the New Churches podcast will become part of the Send Network. I'll continue to be the regular host, but we'll bring in some other voices and names, men and women from different contexts, probably more focused on church planting. And this is part of the conversation we'll have, because you guys are going to be focused on more in leadership. So obviously there's lots of leadership in church planting, but every episode will deal specifically with a church planting issue, or a planting of a campus issue or something of that effect. And like I said, we're going to, other than that, there's still, we'll announce all the deal. This channel that people are subscribed to, this channel will continue. You won't have to do anything. This channel will continue. Mm-hmm. And the next episode you hear will actually be my voice with a, you know what I'm going to do, Daniel? I'm going to do the same introduction just because now I miss it.
You're awesome.
It's like I've been talking smack for 500 episodes, but I'll have a little bit of Daniel's introduction. Maybe even play Daniel's introduction.
Yeah.
And then we'll continue with a laser sharp focus on church planning to help church planters through newchurches.com.
Perfect. So that is, stay subscribed, continue to move forward, because this, like New Churches has been for the last 7 years, it's been this place to resource you as a multiplier.
7 years.
Yeah.
7 years of resourcing.
That's right. That's right. So, okay. So that's that. Now, how about Todd, you and I, what's coming up next for all our listeners?
Well, unlike this podcast, you will have to subscribe.
You should. You should.
So the One Leadership question podcast, it actually started out, we were like, what should we call this thing? Because we have five leadership questions, and it's been going for 7 years plus as well. And so we don't want to get people confused, but we do want people to understand that Daniel and I.
This is like 1/5 of the information, just 1/5.
1/5 of the information. It's very focused. There's not going to be, interviews. It will just be
no long introduction question,
and we'll, get straight to it, answer it quickly. It'll be Daniel M., a guy named Dan Eiten, and myself. Will kind of switch off every other episode, similar to what we've done. Mm-hmm. In the past here with new churches. But if you want to subscribe to that podcast, you will actually have to subscribe. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, completely. Daniel,
what are you excited about?
No, for sure. And I mean, and also if you're following Todd at Todd Adkins and me, Daniel Sangi, S-A-N-G-I, that's my Korean name, then you'll see all the links for this podcast. But here's the thing about this podcast that I'm excited about. While the New Churches podcast is going to continue to laser focus on church planting, the format of it is going to change very differently than what you are accustomed to. The New Churches podcast up until this point, it really has been one question based on one question or one idea that the three of us or the two of us have riffed on and brought answers toward, kind of like in a sense consulting in and around that one question. So that's the idea with this division of focus, really, that the One Leadership Question podcast is going to continue with that theme that you've been used to over these last 619 episodes, really focusing more on leadership development and you leading your church in your context in and around that one question, one idea, whereas the New Churches podcast is going to continue on the focus of church planting. So that's it, guys.
Should we sing what I want to sing? Should old acquaintance. Blessing. My friends, appreciate you guys. Thanks for
it's been an
taking
honor.
The journey. I hope and I believe that you will be appreciative of what New Churches will continue to be, and in some ways, some new ways that it will evolve. But thanks for taking the journey with us.
Likewise.